From Spark and Anvil and Terra Voyage, this is Rome, in Chapter 1 of the Terra Voyage cast. This drama uses an AI-generated voice, voiced via Gemini 2.5.
The town square was all elbows and hurry. People cut across it in straight lines, heads down, each one aimed at somewhere that mattered. Rome waddled in against the flow and stopped dead in the middle of it, which was exactly the wrong place to stop. A small otter with warm cream fur and river brown patches, Rome had no line to walk, no appointment, no map with an X on it. Rome simply crouched by the old stone fountain, put both paws on the cool rim, and leaned in close enough to feel the mist. Everyone else glanced at the fountain and hurried on. Rome saw a whole world. Emerald moss furred the north-facing stones where the sun never reached. A ladybug picked its slow way across a wet leaf. 7 black spots, counted twice to be sure. Down in the splash basin, 3 coins lay tails up, wishes someone had already made and left behind. "Curious feet learn more than busy feet," Rome murmured. It was a favorite thing to say, mostly to the fountain. A cart clattered past, piled with folded fabrics, trailing a ribbon of cinnamon and something sweet. Rome's nose lifted. Rome followed the smell, not fast, but not letting it get away either, down a narrow side street that wasn't printed on any map in the square. The noise fell behind like a closing door. Clotheslines crossed overhead, dropping little coins of sunlight on the cobbles. A window full of dusty books, a shop of lopsided pottery, and a bakery breathing out warm yeast, where a flour-dusted baker shaped dough with hands so quick and certain that each roll came out looking like a tiny cloud. Rome stood watching those hands for a long, unhurried while and felt the whole street settle open like a book nobody else had thought to read.
Rome hadn't always known how to slow down. Years back, on a school trip, Rome had marched through a famous old city with a list. See the tall tower. See the painted bridge. See the market. Rome had seen every single thing on the list and remembered almost none of it. Just a blur of the backs of other people's heads and a tired, hollow feeling, like having eaten a big meal too fast and tasted nothing. That evening, footsore and grumpy, Rome had slipped away from the group and gotten a little lost. Not scared lost, just off the list. And in a plain alley behind the market, nothing famous, nothing on any map, Rome had found an old woman sitting on a step, mending a fishing net by the last of the light. She hadn't been a sight to see. She'd just been someone's grandmother, doing something with her hands. Rome had sat down on the curb across from her, meaning to rest for a minute, and stayed nearly an hour. She showed Rome how the knots went. She said the net had belonged to her father. She laughed at Rome's terrible first attempt. Walking back in the dark, Rome had felt something turn over inside, a warm, wide-open ache. That was the whole trip, Rome realized. Not one thing on the list. A step, a net, an hour given to a stranger who wasn't a stranger by the end. The busy feet had carried Rome past 100 wonders. The curious ones had finally let one in.
Rome came to Terra Voyage at 12, walking, because a place that studied travel ought to understand the kind that isn't going anywhere in particular. At the gate stood Trailmaster Theo, an old fox who had crossed more country than anyone alive. He didn't ask Rome to name the 7 wonders. He asked one thing. Where have you come from? Rome thought of the tower and the bridge and the market and didn't mention many of them. There was an alley, Rome said, behind a market, in a city I can't remember the name of. A woman was mending a net. I still know how the knots go. Rome pulled a smooth gray stone from a bulging pocket, and I picked this up from a river 3 towns back. I don't know its whole story. I just liked wondering about it. Theo looked at the stone, then at the pockets stuffed with feathers and odd bits of metal and dog-eared cards. Most travelers bring back photographs of the tall things, he said. You brought back a knot and a question. He stepped aside from the gate. You'll do fine here.
Rome's workshop filled up,
over the seasons, with children who wanted to be explorers. One boy arrived breathless, a folded map in his fist, already marking a route. "I'm going to see everything," he announced. "I made a list. 14 places, one day." "Sounds tiring," said Rome. "Walk the first street with me instead. Just one." He sighed the sigh of someone humoring a slow adult, and came. Rome stopped at the mouth of a curling side lane and said nothing. The boy fidgeted. "There's nothing here." "Call a card." Rome handed over a curiosity card, worn soft at the corners. He read it aloud, flat. "What's here that I haven't noticed?" He looked up, bored, then didn't. His eyes caught on a bright red birdhouse hung over a doorway. A small bird flicked out of it, then back in, carrying a scrap of straw. "It's nesting," he said, surprised into it. They walked on. The lane opened into a hidden courtyard with an ancient tree at its center, and cradled in the tree's branches sat a small carved figure, a grumpy little squirrel with painted eyes. The boy lit up and reached to grab it. "A treasure! Nobody's found this!" "Wait." Rome's voice was gentle, but he stopped. "Look at it a second. Someone carved that. Someone climbed up and set it there. It isn't lost, and it isn't ours to take." Rome pulled a second card and read it soft. "Whose story is this?" "The tree has a story. This courtyard has a story. We're guests in the middle of it. Never discover a thing that's already somebody's home." The boy's hand came slowly back down. He crouched instead, the way Rome had at the fountain, and just looked, really looked, at the little painted face. "I want to know it," he said, quieter now, "not keep it." "That," Rome said, "is the whole job."
Later, when the workshop had emptied and the light went gold, the boy came back with his list still in his pocket, uncrossed. "How do you know when you've seen a place enough?" he asked. "There's always more. It never runs out." Rome thought of the alley, of the net and the knots, and the warm ache of walking home in the dark. "You don't finish a place," Rome said. "You just visit it well, slow enough that it lets you in, kind enough that you leave it exactly as whole as you found it." Rome turned the smooth gray stone over once, feeling the cool of it. Busy feet cross 1,000 miles and come home empty. Curious feet cross one street and come home full. The boy folded his list into a small square and tucked it away, not thrown out, just no longer in charge. Rome watched him go and felt it settle in low and warm and unhurried, that quiet, lit-up gladness of a day spent looking, of being small and welcome in a wide world that never once needed to be conquered, only noticed and thanked.
You've been listening to a Spark and Anvil chapter, written by the Spark and Anvil writing team for ages 9 to 14. Spark and Anvil is a 501c3 public charity. Apps stay free forever. Curriculum aligned to Rome. Released under Creative Commons BY-NC-SA 4.0 for educational reuse. Visit Spark and Anvil for the full transcript.